Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد المهيد الجود والبرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد العلي والبرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد العلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, for which purpose He has sent us, for which objective He has sent us, that objective, purpose, is very clear, crystal clear. And that is Allah ta'ala's ma'rifah, Allah ta'ala's nearness, Allah ta'ala's love. This is the objective of the human being, which the Quran, in the Quran Allah Ta'ala has explained this. خَلَقَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Mufassirin, the commentator, said that إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ means this exactly, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's love, muhabbat and ma'rifah, this is the objective for a person, for an individual. Obviously, when Allah Ta'ala has given us this objective, purpose, then Allah will have given the guidelines, the methodology to the individual to attain that. And Allah Ta'ala will have given the individual the power, the ability, the energy that he can attain that objective. Doesn't matter how big the hurdles and things there are in the world that prevent him, or orders come, or barriers come in the dunya. But he overcomes all these hurdles and barriers. Allah has given the resources and capability, capacity to a human being that when he departs from this world, he departs after attaining his objective. And millions of people, alhamdulillah, who put their purpose in front of them, the objective in front of them, and they don't consider this dunya as necessary, the worldly things as necessary. Rather, through this dunya, the world, they want to attain the objective, the purpose, whilst they're passing through the dunya, whilst they're living in the dunya, they want to attain the objective. Grasp it. So the first thing, my friends, is that in the enjoyment of this world, in the circumstances of this world, we should not forget our objective. When a human being forgets his objective, then he deviates. Then he doesn't understand that what am I doing? What should I do? Why is there life? And then he has many different objectives or purposes and targets. So this objective, to revise this objective, Allah Ta'ala has given us these majalis, these gatherings, and we are fortunate. We're extremely fortunate, alhamdulillah. Very great fortune of ours that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seats us here, sits us down here. Otherwise wealth, otherwise around us, we can see that we're not capable, my friends. We're not capable. We are passing through the last phase, you could say, a dangerous era. And to get such a ni'mah, to get such a majlis in which a person can sit down and he can revise those facts that are reality, to revise and repeat and remember those facts that are reality. Anyway, myself and you, the more we want, we do shukr to Allah for this ni'mah, and whether we get the tawfiq to do this or not, because we are in the era of fitna. This is that era in which by which the Holy Prophet said that a mu'min will sleep in the evening as a mu'min and wake up as a disbeliever, or sleep as a disbeliever and wake up as a believer. So every breath is dangerous. So Allah Ta'ala, if He has given us this ni'mah during this era, we should definitely be grateful. We should do morning and evening. And put this hadith in front of us, that if there is the morning with iman, then with the heart, the depth of heart, be grateful to Allah. I'm so grateful to you that you've saved me from all the fitnas during the night, and with iman you have awoken me in the morning. And definitely say this. Make a habit of this. Make a habit of this. A pious elder was asked from somebody, how can it be that I pass away with iman, that I die with iman? How can I bring this about? He said, I'll tell you a formula, a method. That when you wake up in the morning, then be grateful for this ni'mah of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has allowed you to wake up with iman, with belief. Then Allah Ta'ala promises, شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, benefit, that you have been grateful for my iman that I've given to you, so inshallah, I won't reduce it, I'll increase and multiply it for you. Then what will happen? That all of his circumstances and the things that cause a person's iman to increase, Allah will make us do those actions during the day that will allow that iman to increase. Those things that we won't even know that this is causing my iman to increase, we won't know. But such actions or things Allah will make us do, such majalis Allah will send us to, such people will meet, that in the Quran and the hadith has been mentioned, that whoever sits there, whoever this action, whoever does this, whoever comes, his iman will be increased. Allah give us those resources. So on the day of judgment, we'll ask Allah, how did our iman increase? This was very easy. Allah says, that you asked from me, Allah will reply, and I gave you, I produced and created those circumstances that would allow your iman to increase. You didn't even know. Because first and foremost, we should have yaqeen and belief in the Quran, that what the Quran is saying is totally correct. So we should do those actions. Shukr, being grateful, is such a thing that immediately iman, in other words, it's a guarantee for death with iman. When you're grateful, it's a guarantee for being death. So brothers, you will do this, won't we? My friends, make a solid promise. Then in the morning, alhamdulillah, that from this majlis I've learned this, and you also have that. What a great learning. That husn-e khatama, we've got the formula of how to die with iman. So shaitan doesn't want us to revise this. And many wrong thoughts are in our minds when we wake up in the morning. And that, for example, this is a minor thing we say when we wake up, Allah, millions of times over, I'm grateful to you that you've allowed me to wake up in the state of iman. Otherwise, you were saying in the hadith, it says that person who sleeps in the night, he will wake up in the as a disbeliever. Allah, I'm so grateful to you that I'm saved from this calamity. That what the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, and you give me iman. So much reward has come. One is the reward of the hadith. One is the reward of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. After that, yaqeen, you are believing that you will have death with iman. And on top of that, you get the increase with iman as well. Allah protects you as well during the day. The evening, you go to the bed. Don't say anything. And then say this again, repeat this again to Allah Ta'ala. Allah, I'm grateful to you. The whole day where I was wandering around, what was I doing? Circumstances I passed through, such places I had to pass through, such things I had to do and write and say. But Allah Ta'ala, that shaitan, he is so wretched and he is running after me with this purpose that I want to eliminate this person's iman. And he's running after me. And this was his objective, his work. But alhamdulillah, Allah, despite all of these things, you saved me and again you've given me the iman and the state of faith. And you've allowed me to pass, go to my bed with iman. Allah, I'm so grateful to you. That's it. You're grateful? Alhamdulillah, iman increases again. So this is beneficial, isn't it? What we've just learned. Shakartum la zidannakum. Allah says, I'll increase your iman. So the objective that Allah Ta'ala has given us, what I was saying was, don't forget the objective. So this formula I've given to you to achieve that, that I've shared with you. So our objective, our purpose with Allah is His friendship, His love, His marifah, His nearness. This is our objective. Eat, drink, do whatever you want in the world. But our purpose, objective always should remain in front of us. This is it. This is the real objective. That I want to attain Allah's nearness. I want to make friendship with Allah. This is my objective. Despite everything else what I'm doing. And the biggest restriction in this path is what? The biggest restriction. Obviously, we have to think about it. That what's the obstacle, the hurdle, so I can get rid of that hurdle, the obstacle. The obstacle between this and our purpose, you'll be amazed that shaitan, he didn't say some minor thing to Allah. Rather, he promised on this point. He promised on this point and he swore. When he spoke to Allah, he said, I swear Allah by your jalal and your honor that these men that you have created, these people, I will not leave them. I will never allow them to meet you. Tell me, if he has sworn on this, promised this, made a pact, you could say, then how much he will be working hard to achieve his objective, shaitan. So if you tell me now that he has promised that he will not allow us to depart with iman, that's how dangerous times we are passing through, my friends, in our life. Don't think it's easy. Don't think it's easy. We are desperately in need for protection. Protection. And who can fight with shaitan? He has promised to Allah that he will work his hardest, utmost. He has sworn and said, I will not leave this human being to succeed. Allah said, fine, you do what you have to do. Allah says that, okay, if you've promised, you have that power, ability, you ain't going to leave anybody behind, and you'll play your games and your tricks. So, to fulfill this promise, he works hard. And what does he take us away from? What does he make us do instead? So that we cannot meet Allah and connect to Allah. And that is sin. What does he make us do? He makes us commit the sins. Shaitan. Now, sin is such an action that sin is the biggest veil. If you remove the veil of sin, you will meet Allah. If you remove the veil of sin, you will meet Allah. There's just that one veil that he has put between us and Allah. He's pulled that veil, that curtain. Sin doesn't allow us to meet Allah. We pray salah, we prostrate. Shaitan makes us do wrong. Tuck, we do the sin afterwards. And he makes us draw the curtain again. Allah makes us do hajj, tawaf, hajrul aswad, kise, drink lots of water, dates. Then we commit the sin. The veil has come again. The curtain. We sit in Arafat, du'as, sin again. We pull the veil again in front of us. The curtain. Is this not the case? The barrier. The screen. In other words, dangerous result of the sin. There's no guarantee. We're just praying salah, we leave, mashallah. And how many rewards there are for salah? So many. In the prostration you attain Allah's qurb. Sin again. Then the deed goes. Wasted. So how can we then meet Allah? How can we arrive to Allah? This is the fikr, the concern, and the name of this fikr is tasawwuf. Subhanallah. Tazkiyah. Because when you go to the pious elders, the friends of Allah, apart from this concern, they have no other concern. They're not worried in the night, where am I going to eat from? Will I get chicken today? Will I get meat today? Mutton today? Balushai? Or mitai? Or sweets? Or biryani? Tomorrow is a dawah there, invitation of that person's house, feast there. No, because they keep on moving towards the objective. The person who goes towards his objective, he becomes the wali Allah. Very simple formula, very simple path. We think to become a wali, I don't know what I have to do, how much mujahid I have to do, I have to stay up all night long, do this worship, this many hajj, this many umrah, this action, that action. Yes, but we think that these will make a person a wali Allah. Wali Allah is made just by one thing. Just remove the veil. Remove the veil that the enemy has put in front of us. You're doing ibadah, fine. But with this worship, there's no guarantee you'll become a wali. Salah will make you a wali, but it's no guarantee. Do ziyarah of the Kaaba, it does make you closer to Allah, but there's no guarantee you will meet Allah through this action. Go to Arafah, you can become a wali Allah. It does make a person, it can make certain people walis, friends of Allah. But shaitan has promised, he'll make you do such an action. That's it, the veil will come in front of you. So very small and make you look a sin to you. Oh, you've done tawaf, you've done hajj. Oh, this is just a minor sin. You're not going to lose from this. But in Allah's eyes, even a dust of an atom's weight of sin is a sin. Even an atom's weight, a dust particle of sin, will that person go to Jannah? Can he go to Jannah, that person? Oh, he says, no, it's just a minor sin. Will the angel say, no, it's okay, leave him off? That, will there be any person who goes to paradise who will have that sin attached to him? Will there be? That means that dust particle of sin, has it got a value? Is there weight on it? So even that sin should not be close to a mu'min. Can it be or not? Tell me the result of the sin. So if he has sworn and promised shaitan, then he has spoken in opposition to us, and he is the one who went after Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. He is the one who influenced and whispered. That's where the drama started, isn't it? So whose side will Allah Ta'ala take? Shaitan's? Allah Ta'ala will take our side. So if he has shown his power and he says, I won't let the insan do anything and I'll put him into sin and into wrong actions, Allah Ta'ala said, fine, no problem. They will do the sins. And you can influence them towards sins. How much will you try? Yes, will you fill this the sky, the heavens, the space between the heavens and the earth with sins? That's all you're going to do, isn't it? As much as they're the oceans, you'll make them commit sins, isn't it? Yes, but nobody can do that many sins, can he? That he can fill the space between the sky and the earth. And shaitan said, I'll make him do that. Allah says, fine, you do that. You try that. But I also will give them something to be saved from you. Because they have to come towards my ma'rifah. Those who believe in me, they will come to my ma'rifah, Allah says. My name is, what is that? Tawbah. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. What a great piece of news this is. Great piece of news. Happy, happy news. That he can try his hardest and make you do so many sins during the whole day. Make you do zina, adultery, stealing, this action, that sin. The whole list of sins he'll give to you. Shaitan. But if you do one action, Allah forgive me, Allah will forgive. Can we think? Can we think? Can we imagine this? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran also, I remember that verse now, in the Quran, that Allah ta'ala has given a great example. Allah says in the Quran, قَوْمًا كَفُرُوا بَعْدُ الْإِيمَانِ. That such a people, a nation, who after coming into belief and they disregard, reject Allah. Look, how many people, how many nations, how many groups of people? One is those who don't believe, who have no iman. Yes? They have no amal, no deeds. They say that we don't believe, we don't accept at all. They're non-believers, there's no hisab for them, they're gone. Then there's the mu'min, the believer, and they have no hisab, they will go into Jannah, say Subhanallah. So two different separate groups, isn't it? Those who don't believe and those who believe. They've gone and they've gone to their destination. In between, what's left? Who comes in between? The munafiq. Munafiq. This is a very dangerous state that we call nifaq. Hypocrisy. Hypocrite. Isn't it? And their habits are very bad. Negative. Spoilt. So, and there's also a fourth group that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned here. There's also a fourth group that I can see in the Quran. They are also munafiq, category you could say. Category, but it becomes a fourth sect. قَوْمًا كَفُرُوا بَعْدُ الْإِيمَانِ. Subhanallah. That they don't have iman, and nor are they disbelievers, or nor are they munafiqs. What is their function? That after bringing iman, they reject after that. They reject after that. They believe in the Quran. They say, Allah says, explains, شَهَدُوا أَنَّ رَسُولُ الْحَقِّ وَجَاءُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Yes, I remember this verse that I am just not a hafiz, just what I can remember, if you can help me, the hufaz. Look here, that how clearly Allah is saying that this is such a group, this qawm, that they will have iman, they'll have belief, and his belief will be such, he'll say, Rasul is haq, the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is truth. And he'll have all the signs in whom the Quran, the Kaaba, Arafat, he'll know, he'll say, I accept and I believe. That person will say. And what will that qawm, that group do? Allahu Akbar, despite knowing and accepting everything, their kufr will be ajeeb. What will it be? Listen carefully to what I'm saying. I think that this is in this era, this qawm. This is my analysis. You also see, I'm reading the Quran, you think as well. That munafiqs, they came from history, but now there's a new group. And Allah Ta'ala has explained everything in the Quran, that what was to be. So what will these people do? This fourth select group, what will be their rejection be? Not accepting, they'll believe in Allah, but they will complain. They will believe in the Rasul, but they will reject the Rasul as well. They will know the Sahaba, but they'll say bad about the Sahaba. They will understand that they are the awliya Allah mentioned in the Quran. They are walis of Allah. and they will joke against them. They will jest against them, mock them. About Allah, na'uzu billah, they'll say weird things. No, no, we believe not. But what's this? Allah did this. Why did he do this? He made him Nabi. He didn't make this person Nabi. In other words, ajeeb. They will base their discussions on their hikmah, their so-called wisdom. But they'll have weird opinions, weird statements. On the Sahaba, weird accusations. And they won't be from Firqa, Deobandi, Brelwi, Ahlis. No, they'll have their own hisab, their own understanding and opinions. They'll not be associated with any group that's recognized. Okay, even at least these groups that I mentioned, they are going on certain understanding. Pay attention to what I'm saying. That I will say today, in the internet has created this grouping of people. The internet has created this group of people. If you go on the internet, so many things you will find. Oh, this and magic, black magic, sorcery, exorcism. Such actions, such people, may Allah forgive. I've never had a chance to look at this, but such aqidahs will come out that you'll be shocked. Such people be sat there openly, visibly. Forget about the holy Allah. Forget the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. They don't even leave out Allah and His Rasul in their statements. Yes, they will speak immodestly, wildly. They'll be laughing, joking. They'll be laughing on the hadith. You're saying, oh, forget this hadith. It's olden days. It's talking about the Sahaba. They weren't literate. They didn't know how to study. They don't know what science was, technology. Can you believe it? This qawm is here right now. It's existent, it's present. This group of people. Yeah? In Ramadan they'll come, Eid time they'll come, they'll say we're Muslims. This is what the Quran says. They are the worst of people, Allah Ta'ala says. These will be the worst of people. From this verse, if you read it, we'll realize that they're the worst. They'll say they believe. What has Allah said? What will be their punishment? La'natullah. Malaikatu wal nasi ajma'in. That Allah will send curse on them, all the angels will send curse on this qawm. And in all the people of the world will send curse on them. They'll be so cursed and sinful people they will be. Be saved, save yourself and your children from this. Today we easily joke and mock against the Quran, the hadith has become a game for us. We don't think it's bad. Where is it written, please? Where is this written, you have to keep the beard? It's not necessary to keep the beard. Easily, jokingly. Always you go towards this, you make the deen strict. Islam is not strict. It's not in the Quran that you have to do this. This is what olden days you're talking about. They will say that the Quran's verses are for the olden days. We can't follow this Quran in this day and age. Oh, those poor Sahaba, they didn't know, they weren't literate, they didn't have understanding, they didn't know about deen and dunya. They didn't know about the world, they'll say. And they'll forget about awliya Allah with regards to the friends of Allah. Astaghfirullah. Their thoughts against the awliya Allah, their words against the awliya Allah, you cannot imagine. That why is this looking weird to you? Because Allah Ta'ala has given you the protection of His deen. Allah has protected you from this grouping of people, from a dangerous iman. You don't know what's happening outside today. This is the difference between those who sit in the majalis of dhikr and do dhikr and going outside in the world. And this is a very common group of people today in the world. Yes, if you talk with people, you will see this, but we are under the protection. And ajeeb style of the deen that they present to people. And so easily they swear and mock. They say bad to Allah. Nauzubillah. They say bad and negative to Rasulullah. They don't feel bad about it. They say, no, no, how can this be hadith? How can this be instruction in the deen? Science is saying this. Against this. How did he say this? The Nabi of Allah, this. Nauzubillah, this. How did the Prophet of Allah say this? Allah Ta'ala says, La'natullahi wa malaikatu wa nasi ajma'in. That's how dirty these people are. Such women and men. Be saved, be saved. Save yourself. Never go to the internet to see, oh, this man, he does magic, he does this out, he does these things, or these other actions. So common today that people in the dunya deviated due to the internet. You can stay all night long and watch things, weird things. Everything a person seeks the solutions on the internet. And this is what a person becomes, my friends. Be grateful to Allah that Allah Ta'ala has made such a society, such a majlis has given to us, that our iman gets strengthened and strengthened. Yes. That's why I say, bring your children here to this gathering. Seed them in the dhikr of Allah. I swear by Allah, wahid one solution that can save our children, ourselves, our generation, only wahid one solution, that is the dhikr of Allah that can save everybody. Remember this, the Quran guarantees this fact. If really we are sincere, we want to save ourselves from these fitnas, because these fitnas are here, and this is a massive fitna that's spread around today. Just go outside and look. This ignorance and wrong ideology, may Allah forgive, in our homes. Look, your children, your ulad, they speak to them regularly and see. They won't believe many things they don't believe. The correct things they don't believe. Yes, people are running crying, my child, he's come back from university, he doesn't do this. My daughter, she doesn't have yaqeen in this. She doesn't believe in this. She says this is all wrong. This is common today in our society. And the Quran has told us, is this not the fourth grouping today? Tell me, isn't this a firqa, a sect that's present today? That those people, despite saying they have iman, they become non-believers. Despite believing in the Quran, they have become non-believers. They believe in Allah, but they criticize Allah. Or they don't accept what Allah has given. Why has Allah made this? Why did this happen? Why did it happen to us? Why didn't it happen to them? Why is there war there? Why has it happened to the Muslims? Why not to these people? A mu'min, what does he weigh everything in? All circumstances on the Quran. Today this is happening, the reason for this is this. Today this is happening, the Quran is the reason for this is. The hadith tells us the reason for this is this. And it makes a Muslim, a believer, content. He doesn't get scared and afraid of the circumstances. Is this the case? This is what we realize. There are reasons behind this. Of course, everything, there's a reason. It comes in front of us. The Allah Ta'ala doesn't do zulm on anybody. Allah Ta'ala doesn't oppress anybody. Allah Ta'ala doesn't hit anybody. Time and time again, Allah says in the Quran that you are destroying yourselves with your own hands. Allah Ta'ala doesn't destroy anybody, hurt anybody, pain anybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is a new deen that's evolved. So such a dirty nation, group of people, the thing I'm trying to give you, the example I've given you here, the example that Allah Ta'ala says, and then Allah says, Subhanallah, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they will be sent into Jahannam, such I will send them, Allah says, that on them no form of azab will be enough in Jahannam. They won't even get a chance to even think of anything else. They're such big sinful people, these are. Such extremely sinful people are there. Such severe punishments are there waiting for them. If any brother is listening, this is a majlis for islah, improvement. Wherever you are listening, if you have these defects, if you have these wrongs in you, then listen carefully to what I'm saying. Look at the punishments, what a massive punishment. If in your house there's a person like this, if your daughter's like this, your children are like this, that you tell them what I've just presented to you. Tell them, if Allah Ta'ala has put hidayah guidance in their destiny, then that person, the woman or man will shake at that time. Don't be lazy, don't be negligent, don't delay. I've requested that ibadat we have worship, we do worship, isn't it? Immediately the worship introduces a person to Allah, but by a person committing a sin, which makes us do a sin, and he makes us far from Allah. So what we need to see is that we are doing ibadah. How can we do ibadah and meet Allah so that we don't waste that ibadah? So such a severe sinful person, the example I've given to you from the Quran, such a severe, extremely sinful person, after explaining this sin, Allah, subhanallah, how he, from his glory and his honor and his rahmah, what does Allah say after that? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. But, Allah says, but, even from amongst these people, these extremely sinful people, if somebody does tawbah, subhanallah, the door for tawbah, repentance, is open for that person as well. To this extent, if a person does such a big sin that we've just discussed, Allah has told us the punishments, even if after doing such an extreme sin, despite that, Allah says that my door is open if that person repents, does tawbah, Allahu Akbar. Now here, there's a unique point in this verse that I'm explaining to you. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Allah said, isn't it? Do tawbah. Repent. Yes? So a person says, yes, I'm happy now, I'm going to do tawbah. Now different types of tawbah. Yes? For example, you commit a sin, how do you do tawbah? Astaghfirullah, 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 people say. Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. Do tawbah, repentance. Two rakat salah, tawbah. Repentance. There are different types and levels of tawbah, acceptance, that lead to acceptance from Allah. Now here, Allah Ta'ala is giving a real sahih tariqah of tawbah. Listen here. Because this Quran, everything I'm saying is from the Quran. What I'm explaining to you. And if you want to do tawbah, do such a tawbah that Allah is prescribing. And a person who does such a tawbah, this is the sins that I have told you, even that sin I'll forgive. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. What a big sin. What a big sin. May Allah Ta'ala forgive. And that we are millions of times over grateful to Allah. That when we're listening to this, we are shocked and taken aback. Tell me, a person who's committing such a sin, what a severe punishment comes with that person. Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. I'll forgive that person if he does tawbah, if he repents. But what tawbah should it be? Allah prescribes the formula. Do such a tawbah, Allah says, according to my method, Allah says, if you want to forgive him. We've made dramas and fake tawbah, fake repentance, my friends. This is the real point. We are so fake and we put so much pretense. It's not us, shaitan makes us do all of this. Shaitan, he plays tricks with us, and even he's made a joke out of tawbah. According to Hazrat Rabi Basri, rahmatullahi, even our tawbah is dependent on tawbah. You know tawbah? Even that is dependent on tawbah today. How dirty our tawbah is, and how you can say full of pollution it is. Contaminated. It's not real tawbah. Even that's a drama that what we do today. Even that's a drama. That after tawbah, again we commit the sin, then we do the same actions. We do tawbah. So why do we do tawbah? That person, when do we do real tawbah? When we're severely sick. Oh Allah, I'm sick now, I'm going to get stuck, Allah. Then we do tawbah. If you're stuck in a very big difficulty in the dunya, oh, do tawbah, tawbah. The problems, difficulties, sorrows, that's when we remember tawbah. What will that tawbah be then when you're in dire need anyway? Say subhanAllah. Is that tawbah? Is that tawbah? That's just due to the fear of sickness, or due to the fear of the distress, or due to be scared of somebody, or due to an objective of the world we're trying to trick Allah. All I'm doing tawbah, Allah, allow this need of mine to be fulfilled, I'll do tawbah. Allah Ta'ala knows everything. This is not true tawbah, repentance. When this sickness goes, he'll go back to the action. Yes, if he gets what he wants, then he'll go back to the action. So we have made drama and games with tawbah. Allah says, I'll tell you what is the real tawbah, the real repentance. Say subhanAllah. Shall I tell you what is the real tawbah? Real repentance? Yes, you read more Quran than me, mashallah. There's hafiz, alim, satir, scholars. I don't even know myself. You know better than me. Look here. Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. First Allah explains the qawm. Allah tells them that even if they do tawbah after that sin, how do tawbah like this? مِنْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَصْلَهُ. Allah Ta'ala says, that tawbah, which repentance? It should be that repentance in which there's islah, improvement in parallel. You understand the hint here? That not just empty tawbah, hollow words. مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ أَصْلَهُ. Such a tawbah that islah, rectification, improvement, change is there. The sins are extracted. Your akhlaq is improved. The sunnah comes into you. The sharia actions come into you. Quran is your walking, talking, sleeping, sitting. In the right hand Quran, and on the other hand, what should there be? Sunnat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the tawbah repentance. This is cool. Islahi tawbah. Yes, I'm not saying this. Who is saying this? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ أَصْلَحُوا. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Then Allah says, how I will forgive your sins. I am Rahim with you, merciful. So what tawbah is Allah prescribed here? That repentance in which there's islah. In other words, what hint is Allah saying? That when you do repentance, you must do tawbah at the hand of a wali Allah. Not empty tawbah yourself. Astaghfar, astaghfar, astaghfar. Turaka, nafal, you'll pray. Shaitan, he will destroy the tawbah. But the tawbah you take at the hand of the wali Allah, the shaykh, will be such a strong tawbah that it will enable you to physically do your islah. Improvement, change and rectification. Why? Because who are the friends of Allah? What is the wali Allah? What's his function here? That they are sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are chosen, selected, deputized. Allah says the Nabis have gone now. That time is finished. That when in the time of the Nabi, the prophets, the sin was spread. Shaitan made the people to spread and multiply, increase. When he took them to the worst of the spectrum side, then Allah sent the Nabi, the prophet, came as a bahar, as a new spring, and there was light, and there was the deen would come back to the world. Then when the Nabi, that prophet, would depart, then Shaitan would start his work again, make things worse again, drag the people back into sins again. Then Allah would send a prophet again, a messenger. Eventually Allah said, this is my final prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the final Nabi. And after that Allah said, no prophet to come. Then Allah said that now my prophet who has come, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the greatest Nabi, with the greatest achievement, with the greatest resources. And whoever follows him, Allah says, even from those who believe in him afterwards, and I select them to be my friends, he, that wali Allah, also will do the work of the Nabi. The same work. Say subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, Allah says, there's nothing to be afraid of. Don't lose hope. A man will come, and if you take that guidance, he'll do that same action that the Nabi did. When he comes into the world, he'll spread the beauty and the spring of the deen. Wherever he arrives, the Quran and the Sunnah will spread like wildfire. A person, his physical appearance, spiritually, he'll become just like the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. Sharia, they will start to understand. They will start to love the Sunnah, the followers of that Shaykh, of that teacher. And when you sit in the company of a wali and you start to learn these things in your life, improves and changes for the better, then understand that Allah sent his wali to your company, to your midst. And that wali, he comes such, just like there's an earth that's so thirsty. There's a verse of the Quran that I can recite in front of you. And what a piece of land, Allah says, that I prepare for the barren, dry land. Allah says, in the clouds I form the, in the skies I form the clouds, then I fill those clouds with moisture, water. Then Allah says, I instruct the winds. It's a verse of the Quran. Allah says, I instruct the winds. I first create the winds, then I instruct the winds. Then on the shoulders of those winds, breeze, I allow the clouds to be decorated. Then I say to the wind, to the breeze, that go to this place in the world, these coordinates of the world, and carry these clouds that are full of moisture and water. And then with my instruction, when you fly over that land which is barren and dry and dead, then with that breeze and the wind, Allah says to the clouds, come clouds, now allow the moisture to drop, because I want this earth to become alive. Do you understand this point? So this is a similitude. So the walis of Allah, their example is the same. Just like Allah sends the cloud to the dry, barren land, so Allah Ta'ala sends his friends, his wali, a sheikh, such a wali Allah. Allah sends and instructs to his wali that go to that land, those people who are dry and barren and thirsty. When the wali Allah arrives there, just like the cloud drops the rain, makes the earth moist, the wali Allah, from his tawajjuh, through his dhikr, his adhkar, his explanations, his company, he makes those people alive. And in that midst, in his society, dhikr of Allah starts to take place, and such a society is developed and becomes green and beautiful and alive. This is the effect of the wali Allah. Not this, that he does some other action there in the society. He hasn't got no other duty or task, and this is not the glory of the wali Allah. The wali Allah, his function, his method, is just like the prophet used to come to the people, and just like Allah Ta'ala introduced the Nabi to the people, Allah Ta'ala introduces the Shaykh, the wali Allah, to the society. Say subhanallah. So when a wali Allah arrives, Allah Ta'ala sends that wali Allah. Allah says, I send him as good company. So people, they rejected the Nabi. He says, we don't believe in you, you're a magician, you're not like this, you're lacking this, you're lacking this. But then they said after that, the makhluk they knew, Allah says that I gave the guidance to who? Those who were grateful, and those who rejected, they lost out. So Allah Ta'ala says that this is the same effect today in the society, in the world. Same effect. That, for example, if somebody in his heart, if he has a passion and desire, determination, Allah says, if you have just a small portion of desire in your heart, Allah says, immediately I'll give you hidayah, guidance. It cannot be that a person who has desire, determination, and Allah has selected a wali, Allah sent him to a society, there'll be many, but Allah says, I've given you the signs of the wali Allah. And if you arrive to his majlis, apart from Quran and Sunnah of the Rasulullah, you'll see nothing else at all in his company. And this is the objective. No other thing will you learn there or see there. There's no third thing there, just Quran and Sunnah. Yes, because the thirst is quenched with the Quran and the Sunnah. Say subhanAllah. So only that person will attain guidance in the company of the wali Allah who has the desire, at least an atom's particles were in his heart. It's impossible he won't get guidance ever. Why? I'll tell you the reason. Because Allah Ta'ala selected that wali Allah, sent that wali Allah to the society. Allah creates the capacity and the qualities and characteristics in that person. The wali like pulls on the people, his word, his attention, his eyesight, his focus, his vision. It pulls on those sincere people. Allah's created him, given him qualities that he starts to benefit the society with iman. Say subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala has created this. Who attains that benefit? That person who has the talab, the desire that I want to get to Allah. He doesn't even have a second in the company of the wali Allah where he doesn't get benefit. He won't move from there. I've seen many people, alhamdulillah, who have taken this effect. So this is not the achievement of the wali Allah, it's the achievement of the desire of the patient, the student. And he will then get the benefit. Because the river is there. The wali Allah is there, the river is flowing. But only that person will take the water and quench his thirst. Who's thirsty? The person who's not thirsty, he's not going to come to the bank of the river to take the water, is he? He says, subhanAllah. So the river is flowing. The wali Allah is there. The ocean is there. But not every man will go there. Only that person will go to the river to get water who's thirsty. So only that person, believer, will take the benefit from the wali Allah who's thirsty. Who has the desire. A person who doesn't have desire, no intention, just said, okay, fine, I'll sign zikr, I'll sign that gathering, and you'll leave. If he has a desire, a spark, a burning desire that I want to take Allah's love from this gathering, I want to take the passion, the belief in Allah from this gathering, and then he'll give his all to that shaykh, to that teacher. He'll assign himself over to that teacher, and he'll have nothing to stop him. Nothing will stop him. If, for example, you're looking for a job, employment, you'll run around left, right and centre. I want a job, maybe I'll get a job here, or I'll get a job from there. We shall look for a job, apply here, apply there. Person tries, isn't it? He runs around, applies, makes applications, I've got children, I've got to pay the bills. I'm not getting a job, yaar. I've done medicine, I'm applying here. I've seen many people, poor souls. Yaar, I'm a computer scientist, I've done this, I've done engineering, I've done this degree, but they can't get a job, poor souls. They're distressed, what shall I do? Apply here, apply there. Yes, there are people like this. They're looking, desperately looking. They're running around, applying, looking. When they get the job, suddenly, alhamdulillah, shukr Allah, happy, enjoying. The same way, a thirsty person who's seeking Allah Ta'ala's nearness, imagine his hal. Imagine his desperateness. A person who's looking for Allah. Imagine the youth of that person. When he arrives to such a place where he finds Allah, then he becomes fana immediately in that company. Of the wali Allah. Once I saw Hazrat Sahab. In the night, I used to wake up, do dua, Allah give me the guidance. And I just did what I could do. I didn't know about the company of doing tahajjud, other people in tahajjud, this action, umrah. I couldn't see or find a wali Allah at all. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala, the tariqah he's given, through that tariqah you will get Allah's nearness. And as soon as I saw Hazrat Sahab, I was in Madinatul Munawwarah. And just one sight, alhamdulillah, then in my life I had no opportunity or desire to or chance to look again. I said, that's it, I've attained my objective, I've attained my guide. What's there left? Then I was running after him. I didn't know he's in Pakistan, India, where am I going? What's there? My shop's running, not running, home, children, nothing at all did I know. Because I was thirsty and I'd attained the ocean, the sea. Subhanallah. So tell me. So what's the point here? Allah Ta'ala sends His wali, His friend to the society, to the world. That's why Allah has revealed the verse in the Quran, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ أَصْلَهُ. That you will be saved and you will know how to do tawbah. Allah says, I've prepared repentance for you. That the individual to do your islah will be next to you. So when you do tawbah, you should do tawbah where you find islah. You can't just do tawbah on your own, empty handed. Because that tawbah will break. That repentance will break. In parallel with tawbah, you must do islah. Change, improvement, rectification. So the wali Allah doesn't just enable you to do tawbah. He polishes you at the same time. He extracts lying, backbiting, envy, and lying, feed you halal. They give you halal remedy. And the sadiq, the true marid, he won't run away. He'll keep on accepting, and he'll keep on rejecting the false. Subhanallah. Because this is the situation between Allah and his servant. That's the sadiq student says, fine, my shaykh said, it's haram, leave it. Yes, my teacher, I'll leave it 10 times. This action, stop it. He'll say, yes, I'll stop it. Don't do this now. You can't do this. This is wrong. Those students find Allah Ta'ala. This is min ba'di dhalika aslaha. Rectification at the same time. So it's stated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sin will give loss for sure. That Allah has given an example here that such a big sin a person, if he's committing, the worst example we discussed earlier, even for that person the door of repentance is open, but do the tawbah of islah. Put your hand in the hand of the wali Allah, do bayah, pledge allegiance. Do tawbah. You do tawbah, bath at the hand of the wali Allah, because there will be takabbur in that person, there will be pride in that person, there will be haughtiness in that person. You think he's something, but when he does bayah in the hand of a wali Allah, the first sin to be extracted is kibr. He will learn to submit to Allah. He will learn to pick up the shoes. He'll learn to be humble, sincere. Humility comes. Adab comes in that person's life. What is the effect of Allah's point? In the company of the waliyullah. Then in the majlis of the waliyullah, he will leave the gathering with nur. I remember an event. I've read this before. Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani, rahmatullah, who is in our silsila. He is a waliyullah in our silsila. After Hazrat Bayezid Bastami comes, Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani. Do you read the shajara or not? Do you? Tell me. Read the shajara, the chain of our teachers. This is the real path, my brothers. Do you remember the names of our mashaykh in our silsila? Or not? Tell me. Allahu Akbar. Yeah? What direction are we going in? That in everything we are lost in the path of Allah, follow it, my brothers. Become people of iman and attain your objective in life. Leave the dramas and the wrong actions. Leave the games and the tricks. There's a path, you're coming onto it. Don't look left and right. Don't be half of this, half of that. People say he's a wali Allah. When you go to wali Allah, he says he's a wali Allah. When you go somewhere else, they say he's a thief. Yes, so where is it? Not here or there. He's not here or there. So you should be solid and 100%. So the most important thing is the shajara, the chain of our teachers. Especially from Hazrat Sahib, with his permission, I wrote this, otherwise it wasn't there. So this Shajra Mubarak, the list of our pious elders, the wali Zawallah in our chain, of our silsila, in our order, when you recite that, you get the fairs, the blessings from the walis in our order, their nuraniyat, you attain that effect, that benefit. I'll tell you an event, Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani, which is a true event, it's a proof, it's not a drama made up. You can read the story yourself. As Abul Hasan Khurqani, who doesn't know him? The Mashaykh of Naqshband. Yes, he's on the 6th. Yes. After Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, and there is Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani. And Abul Qasim, Imam Jafar, then Bayezid Bastami, then Abul Qasim. Yes, Abul Hasan Khurqani. This is the shajra, isn't it? Yes, 4th, 5th, 6th. Yes, who is his sheikh? Who is his teacher? Listen. Who is his sheikh? Sheikh? Allahu Akbar. Sheikh 50 years before he was born. And he didn't even know about his murid. Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, rahmatullahi, who is his sheikh, his teacher, every year he would go to do the ziyarah of people who were passed away, and the way was Khurqan. Khurqan, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Khurqan or Khurqan. And he used to stop there with his murids. And after stopping there, lengthy breaths he would take and look at that soil, the earth. Whilst he was passing by, every year, this was his habit. Once a student asked him, but what do you do here that you take deep breaths here and you look towards the heavens? And he said, good question you've asked me today, Hazrat Bayezid Bastami said, because this is the majlis of the walis of Allah, our pious predecessors, that's why I'm sharing this event with you. And we should do this because this majlis is for this purpose. So, the student said, Hazrat, why do you do this? He said, yes, the reason I do this is that from this earth soil, I can smell a beautiful fragrant scent. And from this earth, such a wali Allah, from this soil, this vicinity, such a friend of Allah will be born, that I can smell the fragrance from this locality. And I attain that scent. And I do this so that I can enhance myself spiritually. I'm attaining that fragrance. I'm smelling the fragrance that when he will be born, then 3 times greater than my maqam he will have once he's born. As Abu, 40 years later, how many years later? 40 years later, Hazrat Abul Hasan Kharkani rahmatullahi was born. And look at the sheikh. The sheikh was born before and departed, and the murid, he was born. And who's the murid? 12 years he did this, that. Hazrat, he used to go to Bastan and he used to pray Salah Isha there. Now I'm telling you, tasawwuf here. The sawaf. We don't even know the shajara. We want to be waliz of Allah. We want to look at that path. Have some desire, some taste. Have some determination. I've done a bit of mujahida, until Pakistan. Every year I used to go 3 times. I had no money. Just to do the ziyarah of my sheikh. To see my teacher. Okay, alhamdulillah, that at least a few people come from Burnley, Blackburn. MashaAllah, this is a great, great name of this age. Have you ever gone to Blackburn? I'll go there. Nobody will come. No. The Jama'ah, MashaAllah, is very strong, alhamdulillah. If I say that next Thursday everybody is to come, this whole masjid will be full. If I say this. This is a strong Jama'at we have. Strong Jama'at. Alhamdulillah, the Hazrat Sahib Jama'at is very strong. If I say now, that next Thursday night, everybody come, we'll do zikr together. If this masjid is not full, then come back and tell me. Then come back and tell me. There are ashiks and lovers, because whose Jama'at is this? The Jama'at that Allah Ta'ala has constructed. I'm nothing. Who do I know anybody here? I don't know anybody. This Allah Ta'ala has manufactured this. MashaAllah, many of you, I don't even know your names. Allah Ta'ala sent me. Just like you, Allah, if you put the honey down, then the honeybees come themselves and suck on it. So the honey won't say, why have you come? And the bee will say, it doesn't matter where we've come from this land, that land, we've come here to suck the honey. So you've come here to suck the honey to benefit. Who's going to ask you, are you here? Who are you? Where have you come from? Are you Pathan? Where are you from? No. That those who come here take the benefit from the honey and then they go. Say subhanAllah. So Abul Hasan Kharkani says that 12 years, what action was I doing? That he had such a shaykh. He said that until 12 years on, I used to go to Bistam, I used to pray Isha Salah. After praying, I used to do one dua, Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, that through the wasila of Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, Allah, that through the wasila of your beautiful friend, Allah, please accept this dua, that please make me just like Hazrat Bayazid Bastami was. 12 years, he said, I used to go there and do Isha and do this dua. He said, when I would return, then Fajr Salah, I would pray in Qur'an. After praying Isha, he would return by foot. And how would he come back by foot? He said, how dare. He would come in such a way that I don't want to allow my back to be towards my sheikh. My back. I don't. So he wouldn't walk in such a way that his back was facing his sheikh's town. That was the adab of the student. Why? Because what did he want to attain? For what purpose? Not to become a wali Allah himself. No, to attain Allah's muhabbah, to attain Allah's love and connection, marifah ninis, which is our purpose. Yes, that we look for through our salah, and then we backbite. We say, oh, he's a wali Allah, oh, he's forgiven. Oh, I pray salah so much. But he backbite afterwards. The foolish person who does that. Yes, and the third, fourth group that I've just explained to you in the beginning, who are those people who after Iman, they became non-believers, they joke on these words that we're talking about. Now this story, oh, they're foolish people, they were desert people, nomads, what did they know? They joke against the Wali Allah story that we're discussing. They jest and mock them. Allah says, my curse, the angels curse, and all of the people in the world, they will curse them in such a way, and their destination will be such, then the dunya you will see their curse, and in the hereafter you will see their curse. Which is the promise of the Quran. Then the world will be wretched, like mad people, like dogs, they will wander around. They will know nothing in the world, they have no iman, no hisab, nothing at all in the dunya. And in the hereafter, that's for sure the punishment that Allah said, that such a zalalat they will get. Such, save yourself from those people. But there's a cure. What is that? That go to the hand of a wali Allah, if you do true tawbah, Allah says, I'll forgive even that individual. If there is a person, murid, like this, immediately go to the hand of a wali Allah, has opened the path of eyes, big, big punishments waiting for that person. Big, big punishments waiting on this sickness and disease. The fourth sect that we just explained. That they are full of hasad, they've gone beyond hasad and kibar and kufr and nifaq. They've gone to the worst of their destinations. A weird sect indeed. So 12 years Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani would return from his sheikh's town and not allow his back to face his town. And after 12 years, subhanAllah, then from that mazar, from where his sheikh was, he heard, alhamdulillah, that destination, that objective you were trying to find, Abul Hasan, you have gone beyond that level, beyond that level. Allah Ta'ala has accepted you, alhamdulillah. And all the levels Allah Ta'ala has given to you. So you do the work now, so much you don't have ilm. Look here, how Allah Ta'ala gives ilm to such an individual. When Allah makes his wali, Allah gives him ilm and knowledge at the same time. Allah gives him aql, intellect, wisdom, knowledge of Quran, knowledge of Sharia. Allah gives him sunnah. He's not jahil. In the eyes of the dunya, he may be jahil. In the eyes of the dunya, he may be jahil. But Allah Ta'ala says he's an alim, a scholar. Because every word of his is based on Sharia. And he's cautious. Abul Hasan said that I'm not an alim, not a scholar. I have nothing to my name. You give me such a rutbah level. How can I go and speak to the people? He said, you do this then. That when you start walking here, you know you go back every day after Isha. So today when you pray Isha in return, then recite Surah Fatiha. Alongside that, start reciting the Quran. He said, okay. He said, when you arrive back to Khurqan, then you will be a complete Hafiz by the time you get back. And all the ilm will have come into you. SubhanAllah. Yes. So what is the story? I was telling you his story. That what is the hal in the majlis? That the effect of the gathering of the wali Allah. There's a big effect. For those people who have the right niya intention when they attend a gathering. The person who's thirsty. As Allah said in the Quran, the person who comes with the right intention, Allah says, I'll give guidance to that person. The person who comes to the Kaaba for hidayah with the right niya, Allah says, I'll give that person hidayah. Otherwise, the Kaaba won't give nothing to that person either. The biggest point here, factor is, do you have the talab? Are you yearning for the improvement? Then you will never leave the gathering of the wali Allah empty-handed. So there was a gathering once on the Jummah night or another day, there was a dhikr gathering, majlis, Abul Hasan Khurqani, alhamdulillah. He was Naqshbandi, and the dhikr Allah was happening, and we have Allah, Allah's name, nothing else do we have in the majlis, Allah's name. So Allah's dhikr was taking place, Allah was being praised, and in that time, Abu Sina, you've heard of the scientist, isn't it? Abu Sina, has a big level in scientist. In that time, he lived at that generation, and he was famous at that time, well known, he was a scientist. So he saw that these fakirs are sitting, and he came and sat down at that gathering, Ibn Sina. And he sat down as well, and he hadn't made the niyyah yet. He didn't have the ilm. Big scientist, in terms of the world, he had knowledge of science and maths and etc. And he came and sat in the gathering as well. When he saw the Hazrat has said something, Sheikh has said something, when the majlis finished, then he put his hand up. And they said, yes, what is it? He said that, Hazrat, you said one word which I didn't understand. SubhanAllah. Until then, his niyyah hadn't been made, his intention. And he said, yes, what is it? He said, while I was sitting here, you kept on doing one action, you kept on saying one thing, repeatedly, that Allah, in the name of Allah, the effects in the name of Allah that you mentioned, that it looks like that one name, how can he have such a big effect in the name of Allah? That Allah's name, that if you say to somebody that that person, his whole life can be transformed just by saying Allah's name. If you teach someone Allah's name, he can be improved and changed. So just on this name of Allah, he said, how can there be such an effect and penetration and a result? Because he was a scientist, he wanted dalil and proof. So Hazrat, he said, because he didn't have the niyyah, he didn't desire. The wali Allah's tawajjuh runs where? Allah Ta'ala says, I only give hidayah when the person has attention. Some people say that went to Hazrat Sahab, there's no benefit. The benefit will only come when you come to get the benefit, isn't it? When you have the intention that you will never get the benefit if you go to Hazrat Sahab's company. Allah says, I'll give benefit, hidayah, to that person who opens the Quran for hidayah. Otherwise, Quran will not give hidayah to a person if he doesn't have the intention, he wants guidance. Yes, there was an English man with the name David who would come. He didn't become a Muslim, but he kept on coming to me, and he knew half the Quran by heart, memory. More than half the Quran memorized he had. He wasn't a Muslim. He hadn't become a Muslim. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala said that the Quran won't give you guidance. Even if you read the whole of the Quran or memorize it, repeat it. There are people in the studies, in the Arabic courses, that there are non-believers who teach Arabic or Quranic sciences. They teach you Hadith. They give you PhDs in Quran. And you get the certificates from there. Are they Muslims? No. Yeah, you get sanad. You get the authority. But they don't have the niyyah. Yes? So it's just bartering and exchanging knowledge. Quran says this. Zabur said this. Tawrat said this. Knowledge. Just exchanging information. But where the niyyah is made, that Allah give me guidance. And he just says alif lam meem. Allah says, go, you have iman. That's enough. Just alif lam meem. Has the effect. Allah's promise that you just pick me up, the Quran says, and touch me with that intention and see a person how he becomes a Muslim. That just with the niyyah they touch the Quran and immediately came to me and said, teach me Islam, tell me what is Islam. The person who has niyyah intention. So what's the reason in reality? The underlying factor is that a person needs the desire. He needs that desperateness. You need to develop this desperateness. Without developing the desire, you could sit in front of Bayezid Bustami, you'll get nothing. So you arrive there, Ibn Sina, and he said, what's the effect of the name of Allah? And you say that if you say Allah's name, this happens. But until then, he had not got the intention. So how Hazrat then prepared him, SubhanAllah? He didn't just say an answer, but he paid attention to him. A person who doesn't come for a da'yah, then the shaykh doesn't pay attention to him, doesn't give him a second of attention. But only that person gets the attention of the shaykh, that he says, I want to find Allah. Then the shaykh pays attention. The student says, I want Allah's name, I want this, I want to become near to Allah. Then the shaykh pays attention to that person. He says, I want to be a wali Allah, a khalifa, I want dunya. The shaykh will not pay attention. But the student says, I want Allah's marifa, I want Allah's name, I want Allah's connection, I want to be lost in Allah, Allah's deen. Please give me the guidance. Then the shaykh pays attention to that student. That's the difference. Say subhanAllah. So today's majlis, do you understand properly what I'm saying today? So then what happened? When the Shaykh Hazrat Abul Hasan Quran said to him, he needs to be prepared, this person. So he just said one statement. He just said to him, he said, you say that when Allah's name is mentioned, there's a big effect. I don't understand. How can Allah's name affect? He said, oh donkey, how will you understand? In the Farsi dialect, he said, oh ghur, nafinum, how will you understand this point? Ooh, when the whole gathering said, if you say someone's a donkey, and especially a scientist, and he's famous in that generation, and he, when he heard the name donkey, then oh, he lost himself and red-faced, his complexion, because obviously if you're called a name like a donkey, then your face, the face changed, isn't it? His face became red. And he's quiet, he's looking left and right. The Hazrat said, what happened to you? Your face has changed, your complexion has changed, what's happened? He said, oh, that of course my face is going to change, and definitely you're saying it's changed, my emotions have changed, because you gave me such a reply in front of everyone. You said, I'm a donkey. He said, oh foolish person, that by calling you donkey is such an effect, your face, your colors change. That Allah has made the universe, the creator, the Malik. Do you not think his name has such an effect that it will change the world? When he said this and gave attention, he said, yes, I've changed, oh Shaykh, I've changed. I've understood what you said, I've understood. Fahimt, I've understood that definitely you are right. He understood that point. So my brothers, tawajjuh, focus, attention of the dhikr of Allah. You get this from the majalis, the gatherings in the company and the majalis of the waliyullah. To be improved and changed and rectified is no big thing. That's what it says, do tawbah, where? In the company, at the hand of the waliyullah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Then see Allah says, how I will forgive your sins and I will elevate your status. So my brothers, all these few points I said, that I mentioned, what I was trying to say is this, that even if such big sins Allah forgives through tawbah, then will Allah not forgive our sins? That of course we sin repeatedly. So don't be scared of tawbah. Immediately present yourself in Allah's presence for tawbah and seek a shaykh of your preference. I'm not inviting, calling people to me. You think I'm inviting to me or be bayah to me? No. I'm just giving a message to you, a learning, that look for a wali Allah and take bayah at his hand. That's all I'm saying. And learn dhikr of Allah from him. Whatever is his habit, how he will rectify you, teach you. Every shaykh has his style, his methodology. But my method, you will see, is totally like this. Aslahu. That after doing tawbah, I want to do the islah of that student. That's why I've made the tazkiyah sheet system. People say, that I just want to be waliyullah, I don't want to do the tazkiyah sheets. Then you'll just become like a donkey. You'll become a donkey, you won't become a waliyullah. How can you be a waliyullah? If you have come to the teacher, shaykh is prescribing to you the system, you're not listening to him and following his guidelines, then you won't learn. Yes, so that's that fourth grouping that you've come into then, isn't it? That after iman, they've gone back towards kufr. That we have no value of the wali Allah's method and guidance in your eyes. You have no value for the Nabi Sallam's or the Quran. That's that same group. I'm telling you that same point again. That in the Quran, when something's prescribed and the importance of that doesn't come into our hearts, we don't feel that, then we are those people who Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that you are in that sect. The Quran is saying this and you don't understand. Allah Ta'ala says, ask the brother, a person, that yes, I do this, I do that. He said, I do this, I'm this, I've got madrasas, I teach, I do this and that. And I said, the dhikr I prescribed to you, what about that? He said, I can't do that. I said, I give the seven lessons, what about them, the latifas? He said, I haven't got the time, I do two tasbihs then still. I said, subhanAllah. So this is the trick that the person's phone. Do you understand? What does the Quran say? That this is deen, and what do we make our own deen that we desire? That, oh, I want to do hajj, I like doing umrah, I like going on hajj, I like reading Quran, I like doing worship. We don't need to do anything. We need to do that that Allah Ta'ala has told us to do. That's what we need to do. The amount Allah has told us to read Quran, the amount Allah has prayed, said, pray salah, we'll pray salah. The amount Allah told us to do hajj, we'll do hajj. The amount Allah has told us to fast, we'll keep the fast at that time. When Allah sends us to salah, we'll pray salah. And I won't pray Isha at the time of Fajr. I won't pray Fajr at the time of Isha. I'll do as just like Allah said. After four, I'm gonna read five rakats. I'll read the same number of rakats. The right things Allah said. So Allah says, leave all things. Wadhkurullah kathira la lakum tuflihun. Allah says, your success is not in any other action at all. If you want to be successful, then there's only one action. Kathir dhikr, remember Allah, no other way. What do they say? No, two tasbihs is enough. Why? Because shaitan has told them that your madrasas will run, you'll be accepted. This will happen to you, you'll become shaykhul hadith, this and that. Do all of those things. Do it the way Allah Ta'ala said. You won't be asked anyway, why didn't you become shaykhul hadith? You won't be asked, why weren't you Hafiz Quran? You won't be, nobody will come to ask you these questions. Will you be asked these things? Are you Hafiz Quran or not? Why didn't you do it? This is extra bonus for you that we need to do. So in all these different subjects, do those actions that Allah Ta'ala said to you in parallel, that you will get the success. So Quran says, in pages upon pages, Allah says, Sabahu bukratun wasila, do zikr in the morning, in the evening, do zikr here, do it here. We don't do it in the morning, we don't do it in the evening. The question doesn't arise that we'll do kathir, that we don't even come to the majlis. No importance of the gathering of zikr. Then this is the hal of the qawm that we see now. What is happening now? You see for yourself. When the qawm is destroyed, then the consequences becomes like this. That's why Allah said in the hadith clearly that you will be totally split out and you'll be consumed. You cannot imagine. And your heart will be so bad. And your life will be not like how I prescribe in the Quran and in the hadith. You'll have your own desires, your own ways, your own preference. I like this. I will do this action. I'll do that action. Allah says, no. That if you want to, you need to crush your desires. Allah says, you have to crush your preferences and your likes. Practice that deen totally from morning till night. The way Allah Ta'ala explained. That just continue to practice the deen like that, A to Z. That's it. Allah Ta'ala has told us everything. Allah has told us hadith in the Quran through recitation. Reciting Quran. How to look at the hadith. How to learn the hadith. Everything Allah has told us. But everything in that sequence, Allah says, don't do more, don't do less. Do it in the way I've given it to you. The right weight, the right ratio. Say subhanAllah. Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? Ulama scholars are here. Yes, put your hands up if I'm wrong. Yes, Allah Ta'ala hasn't said don't do anything from hadith or Quran learnings or study or other subjects or qiraat or recitation. But tarteeb, what should you do more? What should be given more importance? What time? What sequence? So today in this era of fitna that's in front of us and this generation that we're passing through, that this is all present in front of us. The generation that we're living in. The era that we're going through. Yes, society. What's the situation? Has anyone asked the Quran, what should I do in this day and age? What is our situation today? What platform are we on? Look at the sketch that Allah Ta'ala has drawn out. Who can we blame? What does the Quran say? That blame yourselves, Allah says. That fourth group, what do they say? That they are blaming Allah. Those people who had iman and then they left the iman. Allah doesn't listen to us. Allah Ta'ala, what's the situation here? Look at the Muslims today. But I say, no, brothers. That their fault, I swear by Allah, that a Muslim, when he has a bad situation, he should never criticize. Rather, he should look inwardly. The true Muslims, they always looked inwardly. Yes, look at the history of the Muslims. So am I right or am I wrong, my friends? The Muslim, Allahu Akbar, who has iman, belief, and he has the Quran in his life, Allahu Akbar. Who can give that person a loss? Who can give that person a loss? Yes, we are worse than the munafiq group. We are the fourth group of people. Today, all of the so-called Muslims, they are saying bad towards Allah. They're criticizing Allah. What's Allah Ta'ala doing? Allah doesn't listen to us. Allah doesn't know what's happening. Allah is not listening. He's not watching. He doesn't care. Everything. Who's saying this? Today's Muslim is saying this. Who are these people? That after iman, they go towards disbelief. Look at the tafsir of the Quran. Tafsir of the Quran. This is Quran I'm reading, isn't it? Is this not the case Allah said this? So are we not doing this, blaming Allah? Are we blaming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Say subhanallah. You don't understand what I'm saying? The Muslims are sat here. Yeah? They're working. They're doing their things. What they're saying? Social security they're consuming. Yes? Money for free. Yes, just a little bit of a seed I'm planting for you to think about. Just to tafakkur, to ponder on what the Quran is saying. So, don't say bad to Allah. Don't criticize. Because listen, Allah's hadith hai. Allahu Akbar. In Urdu, I'll tell you the translation. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala has taught us a dua. That I, a person, is the son of a slave. He is the child is a slave. My mother was a slave. My father was a slave. Pay attention. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us this. My mother was also your slave. I'm also your slave. And my life is in your control. Yes. So this is the teaching of sincerity, that my mother was your slave. My father was your slave. My parents were your slave. And myself, my life is in your control. So this is a dua that I'm telling you. Here then the next statement, listen. That your every instruction that is truth for me and beneficial for me, every decision of yours is justice for me. Allahu Akbar. This is the justice. Every instruction of yours that's come to me is truth. Every decision of yours is justice. Subhanallah. This is the mu'min, his connection with Allah. That for the sake of your name, Allah, his name comes again. For the sake of your name, Allah, that you kept yourself, that you introduced yourself to the people, and in the Quran you revealed your name, and in your special servants in their hearts you allowed that name to be revealed. Along with this hadith, in your special select friends you allowed that name to come, and in your ilm of the ghaib you kept your name. Allah Ta'ala has promoted his name. Allah says, I kept my name myself, and the position of my name is such that after keeping my name, then first and foremost, where did I reveal that name? With that name I made the Quran, Allah says. The whole Quran is full of the name Allah. Yes, then Allah says, then I picked that up. Subhanallah. I raised that Quran. Where did I take it? Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Allah says, I put the word my name into the Quran. Then after that, into my makhluk, the selected people in my makhluk, the creation, I put my name in the Quran into their hearts. And the next statement is very unique. Allah says, I'll put my name in the ilmul ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen. Allah says, I've just introduced a limited amount of the ilmul marifat. That Allah says, the Quran, I put my name into it, and I put it into the hearts of the makhluk, the creation, and I introduced it slightly. But the reality of my name, Allah says, that is in my ilmul ghaib, in the knowledge of the unseen. Nobody can arrive there to understand the reality of the name of Allah. Tell me. Do you understand my words or you don't understand what I'm saying? So then what does Allah say after that? Then for the sake of Allah, for that Quran in which is your name, Allahu Akbar. Yes, Nure Basrihi. The hadith says that such a beautiful is the kitab with your name, Allah, that becomes the spring of my heart, the Quran. Nure Basri is the coolness of my eyes, is your Quran. And Zaybe Habi, that every distress of the world goes far with your name, Allah. Every concern of the world goes far with your name, Allah. Oh, my Mawla, my Lord, that Allah, my distress and sorrow, eliminate it with your name. The biggest of biggest enemies will run away, they'll be finished. Say Subhanallah. So has Jalal come? Do you understand what I'm saying or not? So who is praising, introducing? Allah Himself, whose name? That name that's been allowed to come into your hearts. How much do you value that name? Tell me. Such a big thing it is. Such a big thing. So when Allah's name, when you mention and recite Allah's name, then think, is such a great thing. Allah's given you His name. Such a big hadith of shared with. Where's this come from? From that blessed tongue of the most honest, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned this hadith. Is there any human being could reject this apart from that fourth group of people? Only those people reject this hadith. Otherwise they'll say, oh no, this is just a waste of time. They'll say this. They'll say this because the curse of Allah is on those people. But the person of Iman, this is a unique learning for those people. Such a great asset, the name of Allah. So when you do the dhikr, listen clearly now. Then attain the full blessings of dhikr, and that person who you sat next to, then sit next to that person. When you go into the majlis, when you do dhikr, it's different. When you do dhikr alone, it's different. When you are in the company, the majlis of a wali Allah, and do dhikr, his for yous, barakat, blessings, you can understand the limit of that, the extent of that. If you have come to attain Allah's nearness, only if, with that condition, what's the sign of the person who comes to attain Allah's nearness? That every word of his shaykh he will accept. He won't turn back. Whatever comes from the shaykh's guidance, he will implement. He will implement. And he won't run forward or left and right and reject. Because Allah is his destination. He wants to attain Allah's nearness. So should we do dhikr? Okay, close your eyes. And one statement I will say. From your heart, eradicate the thoughts. Eliminate all of this. But there are two conditions of doing dhikr. Let me tell you. I'm telling those people who have learnt dhikr. Those who have not learned dhikr, the effects won't rub off onto those people. Those who have learned dhikr, for those people I'm explaining, and those who haven't learned, learn and you get the enjoyment as well. For those who have learned dhikr, I'll tell you the tariqah, how to do the dhikr, the effects you'll understand, because I've shared the hadith with you, so you'll understand. Because Allah's name is vast, it's great. So, make this niyyah intention whilst you're doing dhikr, that when you sit in the company of your teacher, for example, there are two conditions, two things. This is waqufi qalbi, and these are two conditions for doing dhikr that you must implement. The first condition is waqufi qalbi. In other words, that your attention focus towards your heart, and the focus of the heart towards Allah. The two parts. Yes, solid niyyah like this. Yes, so put your focus towards your heart and turn the heart's attention towards Allah. So how can you focus on your heart? You'll think about your heart. You'll think about your heart. And how will you take your focus of your heart towards Allah? You'll think about Allah's greatness, Allah's glory, Allah's jamal, Allah's power, Allah's jalal, his authority, Allah's achievement, Allah's qudrat, Allah's selection, Allah's greatness. You'll think about that. Don't do anything else in the dhikr. And if you don't do this, you're not doing dhikr of Allah. Allah, your greatness, what I was, what you made me. Allah, your karam, your blessings, you allowed me to arrive to. Allah, your favor. Allah, your grace. You are so merciful. You, Allah, you're so glorious. Everything you've given to me. In other words, every second in your heart, Allah, Allah, you keep thinking like this. And the second condition is that you are seeking, looking. You're seeking, looking. That you need to wipe the thoughts away from your heart. Because thoughts will come. They come as a wiswasa, whispering, I'll tell you this, you'll think about this, you'll think about your shop, your business. We need to eliminate those thoughts. We don't let the thoughts come near to us. Let me tell you a method, a beautiful method to do that. So these two things we need to attain. Yes, one thing we need to have the full focus on the heart and focus on Allah. And the second condition, we need to eliminate the thoughts, the waswasa that are inside us. How do we get rid of those? I'll tell you a formula. That when you do dhikr, when you sit down, and you say, okay, fine, today, 5 minutes, I'm going to recite Allah's name in such a way that no thoughts will come to me. I won't allow any thoughts. I'll start those 5 minutes. Start 5 minutes first. Understand what I'm saying? So with full attention, don't let any thought come to you in that 5 minutes. 5 minutes practice first. When you do that, then be grateful, Allah, I've done solid dhikr today. Solid dhikr. If 5 minutes you start thinking and thoughts, then again you have to repeat that 5 minutes sometimes, because I didn't enjoy that dhikr. When you achieve 5 minutes in which there are zero thoughts, no thoughts have arrived and come to you. Yes, totally devoid of any thoughts. Constantly you're focused on Allah's dhikr, remembrance, and no thought. Then inshallah, that when those 5 minutes of yours become solid, solid, maybe a month, 1.5 months, or 10 days, or 15 days, you practice this, then you'll have a unique feeling. And then take it, extend it to 10 minutes then at that time. And then 10 minutes extended to 15 minutes. Alhamdulillah, be such a success that you won't even realize, where am I? I'm immersed in the dhikr of Allah. And why do we like this? Allah Ta'ala says, I like it. وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah Ta'ala says, I like it that you in my path do mujahida with shaitan. That you make effort, not just you just sit there and get everything free of charge on a plate. No, even there you have to oppose and clash with shaitan. Those who don't, oh, I'm failing, I'm losing, I get waswasa, I don't enjoy dhikr. You will never enjoy it. This tarqib method I've told you, you have to oppose shaitan this way. 5 minutes, then take it to 10 minutes, then 15 minutes. Don't allow any thoughts to come. That's it. Don't let them come near to you. These two conditions, grab hold of them firmly. And this is called waqufi qalbi. And also, that you have to eliminate the thoughts after learning dhikr, the dhikr that you do, and also when you do dhikr with your shaykh, then one other thing also. Regularly, that your heart permanently, properly connect with your shaykh's heart. And that all of the nur, the light from the heart of my shaykh is coming to me constantly. Illumination. This is called pulling on the fez, the blessings. These are the tariqah, the methods of those who follow the sawaf. These are tips. So with these you will see a big difference. Your wasawis, whispering, will be eliminated. And this is called tasawwur-e-shaykh. When you do this, then all your waswasas will be eliminated. Shaitan will run away himself. Shaitan will start to run away. Tasawwur-e-shaykh. Inshallah. So today's majlis, we will conclude. Alhamdulillah, a lot of enjoyment today in this majlis today. May Allah Ta'ala give energy again, tawfiq again, that we can meet again. Alhamdulillah. And we can talk good spiritual things. May Allah Ta'ala give us fares and make our akhirah good. Now recite Durood Sharif and we'll start dhikr.
رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ نَسْتَغِيثُ يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ نَسْتَغِيثُ يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومُ برحمتك نستعين يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك الرحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشهدنا في زمرته يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع أمراضنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا اله الا انت ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث Ya Allah, to apna rehm farma ummat par. Ya Allah, to apna karam farma. Ae mere maula, to hamare halaat ko behtar farma de. Ya Allah, apne ghaib se madad ata farma. Ya Allah, mazloomin ki madad ata farma. Ya Allah, mazloomin ki madad ata farma. Ya Allah, mazloomin ki madad ata farma. Ya Allah, tere siwa kaun hai hamara mere maula? Hum kiske dar par jaye, kisse mange mere maula? Tu hi hamara maula hai, tu hi hamara khaliq hai, tu hi hamara malik hai. Ya Allah, tu har aat ko janne wala hai. ہر چیز کو پہچانتا ہے میرے مولا یا کریم ہر فیصلہ تیرا حق ہے ہر معاملہ تیرا انصاف ہے میرے مولا یا اللہ تو ہم پہ رحم فرما دے یا اللہ ہمیں ذلت سے بچا لے رسوائیوں سے بچا لے یا اللہ चल जुल्म से बचा ले, सब कुछ हमारे ही है मेरा मौला, हमारे ही करतूत है, हमारे ही गुनाह है, हमारी नाफरमानी है, लेकिन अल्लाह तू तो गफूर है, तू रहीम है, तू करीम है। या अल्लाह जब से तौबा मांगी जाती है तो तू माफ़ फरमा देता है, तुझसे रहम मांगा जाता है तो रहम अता फरमाता है, तुझसे करम मांगते हैं तो तू करम अता फरमाता है। मेरे मौला या अल्लाह तो हमें जलील ना फरमा, या अल्लाह हमें रुसवा ना फरमा, या अल्लाह हमें रुसवा ना फरमा, या अल्लाह हमारे बच्चों को रुसवा ना फरमाया, हमारी औरतों को रुसवा ना फरमा। मेरे मौला तो अपना करम फरमा, या अल्लाह तो रहम फरमा, रहम फरमा, रहम फरमा, हमें माफ़ फरमा मेरे मौला। या अल्लाह आज की मुकद्दर आज की पाकात के अंदर तो मेरे मौला हमारी सदाओं को, हमारे इल्तिजाओं को सुन ले मेरे मौला। या अल्लाह हमारे भाइयों के लिए हमारे सदाओं को सुन ले। या करीम तो अपना फजल फरमा, रहम फरमा। ला इलाहा इल्ला अंता सुभानक इन्नी कुंतु मिनज़्ज़ालिमीन, ला इलाहा अंता सुभानक इन्नी कुंतु मिनज़्ज़ालिमीन, ला इलाहा अंता सुभानक इन्नी कुंतु मिनज़्ज़ालिमीन। या हय या क़य्यूम बि रहमतिका नस्तगीस। وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.